We're going to discuss a sugya tonight, which is starts out, of course, as a Hilchos Shabbos sugya. That's the reason why we're doing it, but it really branches out into a more of a Kol Torah Kulo sugya. Touches on an important area of halacha that comes up in many, many different contexts. That's the issue of Maris Ayin. So we're going to start with it as it starts out in the sugya of Hilchos Shabbos and see how it branches out. So the sugya begins in the first of the Maamar Kamos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis, Amar Avida Marav, Kamakam She'asu Chacham Mipnei Maris Ayin. There are many things that the Chachamim prohibited us from doing because of Maris Ayin, that if I do something, people are going to draw the incorrect conclusion, and think they're going to think that I'm doing something that's wrong, which could be problematic on many different levels, either because they're going to be choshed me, and that's something that I'm supposed to try to avoid, I don't want people to be choshed me, or they may draw the conclusion that, well, if somebody's doing it, it must be that it's okay, and then they're going to do it themselves. So there are multiple reasons why the principle of Maris Ayin is significant in Halacha. But Rav Yudah Merab makes a sweeping statement that many times Chazal prohibited things, Mishum Maris Ayin, and one would have thought that the prohibition only makes sense when people actually see me. If I'm doing it in private, no one's going to see me, so now why should it be problematic? The whole list is Mishum Maris Ayin. So Rav Yudah Merab quickly dispels that idea, that Kamacham She'asu Chavim Be Maris Ayin, Afilu B'chadu Chedorim also. Whenever the Chacham prohibited something because of Maris Ayin, we go across the board and we say, even if you're in the privacy of your own home, literally inside a room, it's still prohibited. That's the Chiddush of Rav Yudah Merab. So comes the Gemara and says, really? That seems to be against the Mishnah Tanan. The Mishnah says in the end of Masechah Shabbos, Shodchon Bechama, of a low keneged ha'am. There is a halacha that if a person's clothing got wet on Shabbos, even though he himself didn't wash it, to wash clothing on Shabbos is an issa min ha-Torah, but they got wet on their own, so then the Mishnah tells us that you are permitted to spread them out in the sun to dry, but not in a place that people are going to see it. So if you have your own backyard, no one's able to see, then you're allowed to spread the clothing out to dry, but if you put it out, everyone's going to see the clothes on the line, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? So it's obviously an issue of Maris Ayin, that if I put them out, everyone's going to see the clothing hanging out, they're going to draw the incorrect conclusion that I must have washed the clothing on Shabbos, which of course is prohibited. So here is an example of a prohibition, Mishum Maris Ayin, where the Mishnah draws a distinction between whether public or private. Shochan b'chava lo k'neged ha'am, only if it's k'neged ha'am, is it a problem? So the Gemara says, this Mishnah contradicts the statement of Rav Yudah Merab. So the Gemara says, you're right, it does contradict it. Tanoi, in fact, it's a machlekes ha'tanoim. Desan yeshochan b'chava lo k'neged ha'am, Rabbi Allah's Rabbi Shimon Osrin, that the Tanakam, who happens to be the author of our Mishnah, is of the opinion that Maris Ayin is only prohibited when people see it. But if nobody sees it, then there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the action. And Rabbi Elazar and Bishimon say no, that once we prohibit things with Shumaras Ayin, even Bechadri Chadarm is going to be prohibited. So we have Machlaikas Tatanoim, we have Rabbi Yudah Merab who's taking a stand on the question. And now, of course, the question becomes, how do we pass it? Do we follow the Stam Mishnah? Do we follow the Tanakam of the Braisa? Or do we follow Rabbi Elazar and Bishimon, the dissenting view, which happens to be subscribed to by Rabbi Yudah Merab? So Tosfos in the second of the Maamar Kamos, and earlier in Masechah Shabbos, quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim about this very question. How should we paskin la'alocha? So, Amar Rav, Kamach Shasur Chom V'chul Yesh Befarshim, there are those who have the opinion, Tosfos doesn't quote it by name, but the other Rishonim quote the name of Rav Nissim Gaon, one of the Gaonim, who suggested the Ein Alocha K'Rav, that we in fact do not paskin like Rav, because there are many, many sources, many places in Shas that seem to disagree with Rav. Not only the Mishnah and Shabbos, but there's a Sugya Maseches Chulin that seems to disagree with Rav. The Tani B'Chulin, the Mishnah says Maseches Chulin, Ein Shochtun Nusach Guma B'Shus Arabim, Shloi Chaka HaPikorsim U'V'Chotzem Mutter. So the Mishnah and the Brice elaborates upon this, and Maseches Chulin says that when one shecht, so one should not shecht in a way that the blood is going to collect in a hole, because apparently this was a practice of those who are, whenever you see the term apikarsim, it's not clear whether it's referring to what we call today apikarsim, whether it's referring to tzdukim, it's referring to minim, it's referring to some troublemaker, someone who was not part of our camp. So the Gemishta, the Braisa, the Maseches Chulin says that this was apparently this practice that was done by these people who were anti-Torah. They used to shech for some strange reason, some maybe it was an Avodah Zarah reason, whatever it was. They would shech into a guma, into a hole, and they would collect the blood in the hole. So the Tanoim said, you dafka shouldn't do that, even though I'm not really interested in following their practices. I'm just doing it for convenience. No. Ain't shochel esel guma b'shus harabim. You shouldn't do it in a public setting. Shleichak apikarsim. You shouldn't imitate what the apikarsim, what the kofrim were doing. But u'b'chotzim mutter. But if you do it in your own backyard, then it's okay. So comes Tosfos and says, how can we draw a distinction between public and private? isn't this prohibited because of Maris Ayin? Well, you see from here that Chazal did draw a distinction that whenever we ask for things Mishum Maris Ayin, it's only also when there's a real bona fide Maris Ayin. If no one's going to see you, then it's permissible. So the Rav Nissim Gaon was extrapolating and saying, just as in Hilchos Shechita, you are permitted to shecht in a way that would otherwise be confusing, otherwise be misleading, would otherwise be an issue of Maris Ayin, as long as Lamaisa, nobody's seeing you. So just as in Hilchos Shechita, it's permissible, in Hilchos Shabbos, it's permissible as well. And therefore, if you want to hang up your laundry in such a place that Lamaisa, no one's going to see it, so that would presumably be okay. So says Tosfos, there's no Raya. Umil Ein Zeraya. To be chotzer mutter, the afarosa omer nakachatzeru tzarich. Says Tosfos, no, there's a tremendous difference within these two cases. The reason why it's permissible in a chotzer in the backyard is because everyone who sees you, everybody, no one's going to see you, but even that one person who may see you is going to realize right away, why in the world am I shechting into the hole? Because I don't want to fill up my backyard with blood. It's obvious that I'm not doing it. L'chachos is apikorsim. Even if somebody, Li Yitzu, is going to catch on, is going to look over the fence, they're going to see me doing it, they're going to realize right away that there's an incentive, there's a reason why I'm doing it. Masha'im Kane, in the case of the hanging up the laundry, it's true that probably no one's going to see me, but there's no way to explain it. I see a person hanging up wet laundry, the logical conclusion is that he must have washed it just now, which would of course be in Isser on Shabbos. So Tosfos says we cannot compare the different levels of Maris Ayin. When something is also Mishum Maris Ayin, and the reason of Maris Ayin really applies in private, it's just that Lamaisa, there's nobody there, then it's still also. Then across the board, lo plug, it's also. But if the whole reason doesn't apply in private, then and only then is it going to be mutter. So that's what Tosfos says. Ain't it right? Bechotze mutter da'aferosa omel nakachatzeru tzarech. Va'ba'alma she'im yira adam haroe, if somebody will see him yichash denu, afil b'chad yichadar maser, even in private, it's going to be also. So at the end of the day, we're not sure what the din is. We have machlekes atanoim, machlekes amaroim, machlekes arishayim, and we don't have a clear-cut answer. What is that locha? Things that are also mishum maris ayin, are they only also when people see you, or do we have a right to say that if nobody's around, then I'm permitted to do it? So the third sugya, the third of the marmakamos, also becomes critical to this discussion. This goes back to Hilchos Shabbos. Tanya, the Gemara Maseches Ksubos Nafsamach, Tanya Nocham Ish Galya Oimer. I don't know any other statement in the Gemara from Nocham Ish Galya. I think Galya, I assume it's Gaul. Wasn't that city in the ancient world? No, where was that? France. Is that what it's, that's what it means? Is that far? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what Galya was. So Nocham Ish Galya Oimer. Tzino she'olu bo kaskasin. If you have a pipe on your roof, or you have a gutter on your roof, and the gutter gets clogged up with leaves and junk and gook, and now the problem is it's not draining off properly. So now what do? So memachan beraglo betzina b'shabes v'ena cheshesh. So what you're allowed to do is as follows: to go up there and actually clean out the gutter. That's out of the question. That's a serious shaila of maybe makab b'patish. I'm fixing the gutter. Maybe bona different malachas that could possibly be a violation of. So to go and mamish clean it out properly with the right equipment, the right tools. That's out of the question. But what I can do is I can go up and kind of kick out the stuff, kick out the leaves that are blocking the gutter, because what I was going to explain, that's chiliachayad, that's in an abnormal fashion. And when you do things in an abnormal fashion, it's definitely not a deraisa, and there may be certain extenuating circumstances to actually make it permissible. So Nocham Ish Galya tells us that you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to go up on the roof and do it with your legs, but one thing is bitzina, it has to be done privately, it has to be in a way that nobody sees you. So to do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when people are looking up on the roof, that's a problem. Do it at 2 o'clock in the morning, so that would presumably be okay. So what's the rationale now for this psak, my timer, misakin kiliachayadu. So first of all, it's not a real tikkun. It's not a deraisa dika tikkun. It's only kiliachayad. Of a makom pseida lagazer barabanan. And therefore, since it's a loss of money, if my roof's gonna overflow, it's gonna clog up. It's gonna the water's gonna get into the house. It's gonna be a big balagan. So therefore, it's a makom pseida. And a makom pseida, they lifted what would otherwise be a prohibition with the rabbanan. But it's clear from Nocham Ish Galya that only Bitzina, that before Hesya, they didn't permit it. So why did they make this distinction? So the Teretz is, it appears that the Teretz is that when it's done publicly, there's a tremendous Maris Ayin. I see a guy climbing up on the roof. Imagine, Shabbos afternoon, I see a guy climbing up on the roof, and he's pachkrin up there. I can't see exactly what he's doing. And it looks like he's doing something terrible. It looks like he's doing a malacha up there. And now, all of a sudden, now, Baruch Hashem, the gutters are no longer clogged. So that's a pretty serious Maris Ayin, that the guy just brought up his construction crew and cleaned up the gutters. So that's a problem. So therefore, if it's Bifar Hesya, you're not allowed to do it. If it's Bitsina, if nobody sees what you're doing, so then it's permissible. So that's tantamount to saying that Marasayin is only also when it's Farhesya, and it's not also when it's Betzina. So that would support those opinions, that would support Rav Nissim Gaon, support those Tanoim, support the Stamishnayas, who are saying that in Hilchos, Marasayin, we do have a right to differentiate between public versus private. And here, okay, right. So we're hoping that the guy is not such a klutz that he's able to do it in such a way that's going to be a tikkun. You know, the whole goal of it is because the Macham Seda. So lav dafka, we wanted to break the gutter anymore. So I think we're hoping and praying for the best that it's going to be done properly. So this source, the Bryce of Nachum Ish Galia, at first glance, why is this such a convincing riot? We know it's a machlokes tanoim. So you dug up another Tana who says something. So you'll dig me up another Bryce that says something fakir. But here, this source is much more powerful than the other sources, because the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yosef Halach Kenachem Ishgalia. The Rav Yosef, the Amir Paskins, explicitly like this Brysa. So that gives it significant weight in Halacha. So if we were just stopping the Sugya just at this point, we would say, well, it's a Machlekes Tanoim, and a Machlekes Amarim, but Lamais the Gemara Paskin, the magic word Halach, it's hard to argue with. So it sounds like we Paskin that Maris Ayin does not apply if it's not public. Marasayin is only limited when people are actually around. People are actually going to draw the conclusions. So comes Tosus and says, it's still not a raya. Comes Tosus and Maseches Ksubas and the Samach and Aleph. And Tosus says, Machan Baragla Betzina B'Shamas. Fahad de Omar kom mokom shir osu chobit bein Marasayin afilu b'chadu chedorim osur. Tosus says, hey, wait a second, how can Nochem Ishgalia say what he said? What happened to the klal of chadu chedorim? Doesn't everybody know? One could argue, not everybody knows the klal, the Hefta Tanoim didn't know the klal. But Tosus was assuming that Chadri Chadorim is the correct halacha, that you're not allowed to do things even privately. Once it's also Mishim Marasayin, it's also across the board. So Tosus asked the kasha, how can we paskin like the story of Nochem Ishgalia? So comes Tosus with the following distinction. Hainu, Davka be'isim halacha di'araisa. Here's the punchline, says Tosus. It depends what people are going to think. How bad a conclusion are people going to draw? What terrible avera are they going to suspect you of doing? So if they're going to suspect you of doing an avera d'araisa, such as washing clothing on Shabbos, which is an absolute malacha d'araisa, kibbutz begadim, so then we have to be machmir, and we have to say, if once Chazal are concerned with Maris Ayin, then you're not allowed to do it, whether it's public, whether it's private, it doesn't matter, across the board, we have to answer it. So, Hanudavke be'itza b'locha di'araisa k'mo sholcha mecham, b'locha negeram. She'im yiru, because if people see you hanging up your laundry, yisperu she'kifson b'Shabbos. People will think that you actually washed your clothing on Shabbos itself. Aval hocha, over here, lo yiru ele melocha kiliachayat. What's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario? A guy's going to see you on the roof. He's going to peer up and somehow notice you on the roof, and he's going to see you kicking the gutter. So he's going to be cheshed that you did a violation of something which is only derabbanan. Because everybody knows that kicking and fixing the gutter with your foot is not a deraisa. So he says, big deal, David derabbanan. V'lo gozri rabbanan lesser b'chadri chadorim. So Tosus just gave us a big breakthrough in the sugya of Marasayin, that the correct answer to our question, does Marasayin apply only in public or even in private? The answer is, it depends. Very politically correct answer. Depends on the facts. Depends how bad is the conclusion. If the conclusion is going to be a deraisa, such as washing clothes, then it's also under all circumstances. If the conclusion is going to only be a derabbanan, it's a nishkafelach, then not the end of the world. So actually, this Tosus, tucked away in the middle of Maseches Ksubas Nafsamach, became famous because it appears in a context at the very beginning of Vichas Bosom Acholo. We skip down to the last of the Marmakomos. So the Ramon, a certain way, made this Tosus famous. The Ramon, Yerodeh, Nuchas Bos Becholov, is talking about a Shaila, a very real Shaila. Shaila we have, could be even out of Yemes that we have the Shaila. The Ramon raises the following question. V'nogu lasos cholov mishkedim, u'banichim bo besar of, hove eno rak min derabonon. Avo besar behemo yesh laniach etzel ha cholov shkedim, mishum maris ayin. Moshe Yisrael elsa bin samachlov l'inin dam. The Ramon is talking about the following scenario. Obviously, we know, possibly actually, this week's parasha, one of the three times in Chumash, L'Savashol, Gedi B'Cholavimo, there's an Isra B'Basa B'Cholav. Cholav obviously means milk that comes from an animal. If you have something that may be called milk, but it has no connection, living or dead, to an animal, it's what the Rishonim called Cholav Shkedim. It's literally almond milk. We would call today almond milk, or soy milk, or rice milk, or quote-unquote milk. It may look a little bit like milk, Maybe it tastes not exactly like milk, but it's close. It can be confused with milk. So that's what the Rishonim would describe as chalav shkedim. They used to make it from almonds in those days. And the question becomes, can I serve this almond milk? Can I serve the chalav shkedim with my meat together? What is the halacha? So obviously, min ha-Torah, it's not really a problem. Even min d'rabbanan, it shouldn't really be a problem. But maybe we should ask for it because of marasahi. Maybe we should say, if a person comes and sees a person having his meat together with his almond milk, the person's going to think, oh, that looks like regular milk, and the person is violating bas b'cholov. Should we be concerned with that conclusion? So the Ramah writes, it depends.
So what's the initial isa of marasahi? He's
going to
come to do it.
So the original.
Like between
Avodah Zarah, Malach Shabbos, are they serving the rice? So the original is, at least one of the primary Isurim is that Isur of Chashad, that I'm creating a situation where people are going to be Choshed me. So I'm not supposed to create a situation where people can be Choshed me. That's what the Gemara quotes from Sukkim, V'yisem Nikiyim, that a person is supposed to do things in a way that he remains clean. People shouldn't be walking around. I have no right to say it's your mitzvah b'tzedek tishpara misecha. You're supposed to be judged me favorably. That's true. The other person is supposed to judge me favorably, but I'm supposed to do whatever I can to avoid putting him in a situation where he may not judge me favorably. That's the mitzvah of yisem nikiyim. So that's one of the primary reasons for marasai. And then he's going to end up doing it also. Right, so that's the second issue, right? Besides the issue of chashad that the Gemara speaks about, there's also that issue, someone's going to see what I'm doing and they're going to say, oh, Rabbi Plony did it, it must be that it's really okay. So there are a combination of those two factors. So comes the Ramon, raises the question, should we apply this principle of marasayah to the person who has the meat meal together with the chalav shkedim? If you assume that this would be a problem, what would you have to do to avoid this problem? So that's what the Ramah is referring back to, a din that appears in Uchaz Dam and Simin Samach Vav. We don't have another Maram Komas here, but there is a sugya in Maseches Krisos that discusses an issue of Marasayan when it relates to the issue of Dam. We know the Torah says you're not allowed to eat blood. You're not allowed to eat blood of an animal. Not allowed to eat blood of a bird. But you are permitted to eat blood of a fish. Dam Dagim is really permissible. It's Mutter Min HaTorah, it's Mutter Min HaRabban, it's totally Mutter. But the Gemara tells us in the Maseches Krisos that Chazal were concerned that if they see a person sitting and having a cup of Dam Dagim, so not everybody's going to know. People are going to think maybe it's Damov, maybe it's Dam Behem, maybe the guy's over in a Sakares. So therefore they made the following prohibition. The Gemara tells us in the Krisos that they said you have to make it Nikar, you have to make it recognizable. Everybody should see right away that this is in fact Dam Dagim. So what do? You take some of the scale, some of the kaskasim, and you put it on the... It doesn't sound like a very delicious drink, but you put it there, next to it, into the drink, whatever it is, in such a way that everybody realizes, this is not chicken blood, this is not animal blood, this is fish blood. So there's a chiyuv b'drabban, chiyuv al marasayin, to avoid any issues of marasayin, to put the kaskasim there. So the Ramah is alluding to the fact that some wanted to extrapolate from the kaskasim of the fish, and say the same is true when you have the almond milk. So I'm serving a fleshic meal, I have a cup of almond milk, a cup of soy milk, a cup of rice milk, so maybe I should be required to put, in the case of the shkedim, I should leave some of the shkedim, I should leave some of the shells of the shkedim on the table, that everyone's going to realize, this is chalav shkedim, this is not regular milk. So that's what the Ramah says, that you don't really have to do that. The Ramah starts off by saying, V'nogu, we'll go back to the Ramah, V'nogu lasas chalav shkedim, v'nichba b'sar of, hove'enu rak v'drabbanan. So says the Ramah, if what you're serving at the meal is only chicken, so it's only the Rabbanan, it's not the end of the world, what'll happen if I think you're eating chicken and milk together? No, it's only the Rabbanan. So therefore, there's no need to leave the shkedim there. But if a basar behema, but if you're having real meat, you're having a roast beef, you're having a meat cholent, if a basar behema yesh tanichetz l'chol of shkedim, then you in fact should leave some of the almonds there, some of the shells there, mishu maris ayin, because just as we're concerned with maris ayin kemosh is baal minin dam, just as Chazal instituted to leave some of the kaskasim, to leave the scales next to the cup of fish blood, so that it's clear that everyone knows that it's fish blood. The same is true when it comes to the chalav shkedim, but only true when it comes to besar behema. So the Ramah is drawing a distinction here between besar of, which is only the rabbanon, in contrast to besar behema, which is a deraisa. So the truth is there are a lot of technical issues with this Ramah, because even besar behema is only deraisa when it's actually cooked together. If I'm eating a hamburger and having a cup of milk at the same time, that's not an issa deraisa. That's only an issa derabbanon. If I take a piece of meat and I cook it in milk together and I eat it as cooked together, and then and only then is a deraisa. So the Ramah is a little bit of a chiddush, because even the case that the Ramah is portraying is not a real deraisa, but at least it's more deraisa than besar of. Besar of is for sure the Rabban.
He's not going to hang near clothing.
When you
put a big sign,
which is
on hanging.
Oh, okay, maybe hard to write the sign on Shabbos, but we're going to get a little pre-made signs. So we'll get there. So the Ramah is drawing a distinction between Besar Behemah versus Besar Of. It seems to be saying that when it comes to Besar Of, don't worry about Marsayim. You don't have to be concerned with Marsayim. It's only a Derabbanan. So the Shach jumps in this Ramah and says, what do you mean? There's no Marsayim and Derabbanans? That's not true. Of course there's Marsayim and Derabbanans. Oh, so the lady Rechmanim writes, the Pesach Tshuva writes, Bistam, what the Ramah meant was that this is not before Hesya Mamish. This is not, I'm eating in front of 100 people. I'm eating in my own house. Me, my wife, my kids, a couple of people sitting at the table. So there's no real Marisayin over here. This is what we call Chadri Chadorim. So comes the Ramah and says, well, it's only Chadri Chadorim anyway. And the ramifications are only Dirabbanan anyway. So if it's only a Dirabbanan and it's Chadri Chadorim, then you can be Mekil. And where in the world did the Ramah get it from? He got it from this Tosfos. So what started out is this obscure Tosfos in the Samech and Ksubis about the guy who's standing on the roof and trying to fix the gutter, and he doesn't want anybody to see him. So the Gemara says that it's okay as long as no one sees him. So Tosfos explained, aye, but it's Chadri Chadorim. Chadri Chadorim is Gevalt, is also. Nah, it's not such a Gevalt. It's only a Dirabbanan. It's not going to shrug Gevalt. It's only a Dirabbanan. Chadri Chadorim on a Dirabbanan is permissible. So that's what the Ramah seems to be saying here as well. If that is true, if this analysis of the Ramah is correct, so then the Ramah would only apply if it's Chadri Chadorim. What if there are a lot of people around? What if it's a wedding? What if it's a restaurant? And there are a lot of, that's no longer Chadri Chadorim. That's already before Hesya, that's already before Ha'am. So then the Ramah's distinction between meat and chicken would no longer be true. Then we should insist that not only would meat require that you have some kind of a hecker there, it has to be some kind of a recognizable sign, so too, chicken would also be necessary. The Ramah was only Mekil because it's a Derabbanan b'Chadri Chadorim. And even the Ramah who was make, it was never made by real meat. The Ramah insisted that real meat does require some type of a recognition. So this was an issue years ago when the Parva creamers came out, the Parva milks came out. So the Shaila was, do we have a right to, I'm sitting in a restaurant, and they come and they bring me a cup of Parva creamer, Parva milk. Do I have a right to do that? Maybe there's a Marasayan. You have 20 other people sitting in the restaurant saying, "Hey, Gevalt, the person's eating meat and he's having his parva krima. That's terrible. Maybe that's a shal of Marasayan." And we can't even rely on the Ramah, because the Ramah was only made, at best, the Ramah was making b'chadri chadorim, at best. And this is not even chadri chadorim. This is before Hesya. There are 20 people sitting at all the other tables. So l'chori, there should be a problem. So that's why years ago, when they first started these parva innovations, the Hashkach organizations used to insist that you have to bring it in the container. That you can't just bring it in a cup. It has to be brought in the container. What was the rationale to that? That's like, for lack of a better example, that's like the kaskasim. That's like the scales. Go explain to the restaurants and the chasim and caterers that what they're really doing by bringing it in the container is they're mimicking the scales of old. Just as the Gemara in Krisa says, you can drink the fish blood as long as you have scales in it. Just as the Ramah said, you can have the chalav shkeim together with your fleshiks as long as you have your almond shells on the table. So too, if you bring it in a container and it says, that says big OU parva on it, so that's considered to be enough of a hecker. That's what they used to insist in days gone by. I can't tell you for sure whether they still insist on that as manazeh. Lefianis daiti, and I'm not so convinced that the whole thing applies anymore, because bismanazeh we've reached a point where it's so yadum for some. I mean, you go to any meal, you go to any chasen, and they're serving parva ice cream. So when was the last time? Oh, you give out, really, it's milchiks, and people are still marsayin. You don't even think twice about it. Everybody bismanazeh knows that everything is parva. So one could argue that maybe the whole marsayin doesn't apply anymore. Not everyone agrees to that. Gedolei Poskim who still insist that we have to be chashish for that marsayin, and would insist that maybe you still have to have the containers bismanazeh. Again, I can't tell you for sure what each of the Hashkacha organizations are doing in this. Why is the Mashkiach? Because
if the Mashkiach is there, that means there's someone there supervising. Just like that would be a heck of that someone's making sure this is being done right.
I mean, first of all, not everyone, we usually don't see the Mashkiach all the time. Mashkiach is probably not walking around the tables. The Mashkiach is sitting in the kitchen. Halavai, we hope he's in the kitchen. You know the way they say the joke, there are two kinds of Mashkiachim. There's the Gemara speaks about the Mashkiach who's a Yaitzev and Nichnas. So that's okay, Yaitzev and Nichnas, but he comes. So that's one kind of Mashkiach. Then there's another kind of Mashkiach, that's called the Nichnas V'Yaitzev. That means he walked in, Ich bin Yaitzev. I walked in, I said hello, Yaitzev, that's it. So that's not the kind that we want to hire. Yeah, so many people can say that's also called Charechedarim. Many people can say that your immediate family is there, so you'll explain to them right off the bat, this is powerful. You know, this is Fishtush, this is almond milk. So maybe that's considered to be also Charechedarim. It becomes outside of Charechedarim when you can't monitor what's going on. If 100 people walking by, I'm going to start telling everybody that I didn't wash my clothes today, that's going to be a lot more difficult to monitor.
The restaurant has a hashgacha.
Okay, maybe I don't know. This is we've had this issue. The issue has come up in terms of certain, let's say, menus. Let's say you want to advertise a certain product, so you advertise, you know, a cheeseburger. I'm going to put that term cheeseburger. So in small letters, it says Parva cheese. So the question is, does it have to say Parva cheese, or is that, or is it move on me'el of that Parva cheese b'zman hazeh? So we've tried, at least in our hashkachas, we've tried. So whether it's actually required in terms of Bukhaz Marzayan or just it's a bad policy to have anything that blatantly sounds very treif, unless there's a memo on the bottom pointing out this is the Afkut Parva cheese. I think it's just a good idea for public policy, even though it may not necessarily be required by Zman Hazeh. So a core part of this whole Shtickel Torah of the Ramah, assuming that's what the Ramah meant, was based on the Tosfos, which really has its roots back in Hilchos Shabbos. So the Klal of Hilchos Shabbos is going to impact other areas of Marasayin as well. But we're not even so sure that Tosfos is agreed upon. Actually, we're sure that Tosfos is not agreed upon. There are Rishonim who disagree with Tosfos. If you go back now, one to the Marmakar was back to the Ran and the Rif. So the Ran says that he thinks that Tosfos' whole analysis of the sugya is not correct. That Tosfos was mixing and matching two very, very different types of sugyas. So comes the Ran and says, "Ve'eni omekain elahano lo shaychei v'derav klal." So he says that everything we've been talking about, the sugya of ksubas, the guy walking up on top of the roof, has nothing to do with the Rav's principle of chadichadarim. Why is that? So comes the Ran and says, "The Rav hachigamer." What did Rav really say? The whole davashu muta gomer. If I'm doing something which is heta gomer, there's nothing wrong with hanging up laundry. There's no deraisa. It shouldn't be a derabon. There's no melacha b'chlal. There's nothing wrong per se with hanging up laundry as long as it wasn't washed on Shabbos. But the chacham asru b'nei maris ayin b'levad. The only thing that's wrong with it is maris ayin. That was the reason why it's also there. Is no objective reason to also hanging up laundry. So once Chazal say that something is also mishum maris ayin, then we should no longer make distinctions between public and private. Why is that? Because if you tell the guy, it's okay, you can hang up the laundry in private, then it's going to be impossible to monitor. Once you give the finger, once you say that, yeah, give you a finger, you can take a whole hand, we're going to tell you, it's okay, it's all right. You can hang up the laundry, just do it privately. What the rabbi just told me is that you're allowed to hang up the laundry. So inevitably, he's going to hang up the laundry in public as well. Why is the person going to make that conclusion? Because he knows there's nothing wrong with hanging up laundry. He learned Tocha Shabbos, he learned 157 bottom Shabbos, and he realizes there's no deraisa, there's no derabanan, there's nothing wrong with hanging up laundry. So once I tell him, no, you can't hang up the... Once I tell him, yeah, you can hang up the laundry, kind of. So he's going to say, what the rabbi just told me is that it's mutter to hang up laundry. So... we can't begin to give a het there when something is also only Mishum Marasayin. V'yomer ein kan roim. And the guy's going to say that yeah, where I'm hanging it up, there also nobody's seeing it. V'chein nami yesh tam lecham lochosh, shem yirei wadam b'shus hayochit. And the chum should really be concerned that if you let the guy do it in Chadu Chadorim, you never know, somebody may see. It's impossible to call something purely Chadu Chadorim. So the bottom line is, says the Ran, since it was starting off that what you're doing is really permissible, but we have to create an Isser Mishum Maris Ayin, so then Mimela, we have to Aser it Lagamre. But if you continue on, Ha'idah Aron, he's referring to another Gemara we're not going to talk about, Fitzino, the case of the pipes, or the Kavasayo, Lo Shaykh with the Rav Kla. Why? The Ad Rabba, Mitzat Atzum Asurim Hein. He says, those actions of going up on your roof and cleaning out your garden with your foot is something you shouldn't be doing on Shabbos. It's an Issa D'Rabban of Kiliyach Hayad. It's not awesome Mishum Maris Ayin. It's awesome Mishum Ucha Shabbos. It really is awesome. Chachamim had no choice because they don't want the guy's house to get ruined. So they gave him a kula. And they said that, all right, even though what you're doing is really an Issa D'Rabbanan, we're going to lift that Issa D'Rabbanan, the Shasar Chagodol. Fitzir Nami Amrinan, Perek Afapit, the Mesak Aliyach Hayad. Once Chachamah giving you a kula, so then they wanted to say, listen, we want to minimize this kula as much as possible. We don't want to give you a green light if we don't have to. Let's only let you do it in private. The lake may be namish le'atirim klal. We can't say don't be matvir altogether. The yev shebelavach. You have to be matvir because otherwise the house is going to ruin. The lake le'mechesh namish metelchat sin a yovel day for hesya. And we don't have to be concerned that if we let the guy do it privately, he's going to end up doing it publicly. You know why? She came and she had also the atzmo yishmalacha. It's all psychological. It's a game, says the Ran. If it's something which is primarily osur, everybody knows the starting point is you can't go up to your roof and start cleaning out your gutters on Shabbos. That's the starting point. The rabbi gave you an unbelievable kula and said, if it's a real shasar chak, machom hefsid, and nobody sees you, then it's okay. The guy will not extrapolate to the public. The guy's going to realize it's a very, very limited kula in scope because it's really fundamentally an anti-Shabbos activity, and he's not going to draw the incorrect conclusion. Something which is really mutter, if it's fundamentally mutter, then the person is going to extrapolate and is going to be matter more than necessary. So what the Ran really comes out is what we would call at first glance counterintuitive. The more usur something is, the better off it is. If something is fundamentally usur and we have to give you a kula, then we could kvetch out a kula and say, our betzina, we're going to let you do it. Makom hefsid, we'll let you do it. If something is fundamentally mutter, and we just have these tangential concerns of Marasayan, so then Marasayan's got to trump everything. We're not going to let you do anything, because once we start to give you a little bit, then you're going to end up going further. So it's a very, very strange thing, but that makes a lot of sense, according to the Ran. What comes out from the Ran, though, then the distinction between the Raises and the Rabbanans is not necessary. Tosos only gave that a distinction to explain away the difference between the case of the tzina, the case of the pipe, and the case of the washing of the wound. So when all the dust settles, how do we paskin in halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Shabbos, we basically paskin chadar chadarim is a problem. We assume, not like Rav Nissim Gaon, we assume that whenever something is asr mishum arsayin, so then it's asr even v'chadar chadar. However, if the chashash is only a derabbanan to get chashash, then we do have a right to rely on Tosfos. Then we have a right to say, well, worst case scenario, it's only a derabbanan anyway, big deal. So a derabbanan, we're willing to permit it in a situation of chad v'chadar. We have a lot of cases of marasayin bizman hazeh that don't fit exactly into any of these categories. It's not that there were specific things that were asad by chazamish and marasayin. They're just things that make sense. That means logic dictates that if I see somebody doing such and such, I may draw the wrong conclusion. So the most famous example of marasayin today is going to a treifa restaurant. So a person goes into a treifa restaurant, at least at one time in history, one would have drawn the conclusion, he's going into a treifa restaurant, oh, he must be, he's eating treifa food. That's a big problem. All the warning bells go off. That's a diaraisa. It's not even chad v'chadarim. That's the worst kind of marasayin. So l'chora, the worst possible scenario of marasayin would be such a case. The person is going to trade for a restaurant. Unless one argues that everything changes with Zman Hazeh. Why does everything change with Zman Hazeh? The same way we spoke a little bit about the creamers before. With Zman Hazeh, it's so yadua, it's so well known that people who are completely shomer Torah mitzvahs have to go to trade for restaurants. They're going for business. They're going as part of meetings, whatever it is. So when I see a guy walking with the yarmulke into a treif restaurant, my immediate reaction is not that, oh, that guy, he's really a fake. He's really a... He's going with three other people. The three other people he's going in don't look like they're some shomer Torah mitzvahs. Mistomi has a business meeting there. That's my immediate reaction. So that's why the poskim today are very, very lenient about this. Even though maybe at one time in history it was considered to be, that's like the worst case scenario to walk with a tray for restaurant. In Chamar HaSayin HaMizeh, it's probably not the case. Unless it's a kind of a restaurant people generally don't walk into for meetings. It's not a person wants to go into other places to use for other reasons. So then one should probably make a din v'cheshbon whether there is a concern of marasayin or not. Yeah, so then one could also argue, right, one could argue, you know, years ago there used to be, make a phone call, gotta go to the McDonald's. Now, I don't think anyone would ever be chesher that you're making a phone call. I think most people don't know where the payphone is. I was trying to explain to my kids once what a payphone used to be. It was hard for them. You mean you take a dime, a nickel, and a quarter, whatever it was, you put it inside, and you have to... I said that it used to be in Chasanas, not all that long ago. In Chasanas, you would spend most of the time waiting for the first dance, standing at the payphone. You got 30 people line up to make the payphone. Now, I think maybe they keep one payphone just to... Zech l'churban, people should remember what a payphone was. Yeah. I'll tell you a real good marasayin story, but I have to tape record it first. I'll tell you a good one, then we'll close it later. You never know, otherwise it'll be marasayin. People might draw the wrong conclusion. Nice, it's enough.